بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد So we begin discussing a new issue with regards to Al-Adab Al-Shar'iyya. And thus far we have been discussing what the author has mentioned, Rahimahullahu Ta'ala, with regards to being kind and nice and obedient to the parents. And we remember that Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, Rahimahullahu Ta'ala, he began with the chapter Birr Al-Walidaini for a reason and a purpose. And this book is about manners and about etiquettes and how one will carry himself and how one will behave and how one will act and interact with others. And it's as if Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, Rahimahullahu Ta'ala, is telling us, those who read his book and study Al-Adab Al-Mufrad, and those who learn the legislative, upright and noble Islamic etiquettes and manners, that the one or those people from the creation, they have the most right for us to use these noble manners with are the parents. After this, likewise, Al-Bukhari, rahimahullah ta'ala, he moves to the next topic. And although there is a relationship between the two, we see that the first topic is specific. And here he mentions the topic of Sirat Ar-Rahim. Siratu Ar-Rahim. Keeping ties of kinship. So at the head of that would be, of course, with the parents. But now he's going to mention affairs in general after that. Keeping the ties of relatives and those who likewise have from the most right for a believer to use the noble and good manners with them. And those who have the most right for a Muslim to be nice to and kind to and choose the best words and deal with him in the best way, they are the relatives. And there are those who are closest to an individual, especially if they are Muslims. So we see that Al-Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, Babu sirati ar-rahim. The chapter with regards to keeping the ties of kinship. Ar-Rahim, it means the womb. The womb is the place where the baby is created in the womb of a woman. And that's the meaning of Ar-Rahim. And it comes from the word Rahima, or also from the same root of Ar-Rahmah, mercy. To have mercy. And we see that the family members, they are tied together from kinship, many from the womb. They're tied together from blood and from the same family members. So it's something that is established in the deen, that at Islam, it is a deen of fulfilling rights. And it is a deen of fulfilling obligations and duties. And the greatest obligation and duty is the obligation of a believer to his Lord and his Creator, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But from that obligation, Allah likewise, He has given His creation rights and placed upon them duties and obligations towards one another. And some of these rights are greater than others. And from the greatest rights of the people of the creation, we have seen the right of the parents. But now after that, likewise, we see the right of the relatives. the right of the relatives and the family members, and those who are linked and tied together by the womb, and from the blood, from the family, in this manner. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned in general, وَأَحْسِنُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ, and do good to the people, be nice to the people. Verily, Allah, He loves the good doers. Do good, be nice, do good to the people. Verily, Allah, He loves the good doers. Verily, Allah, He loves the good doers. From the ihsan and from the good that al-Islam has encouraged and the legislation has prescribed, from the noble manners of a believer, is that he will have good manners with his family members, with his brothers and his sisters, and with his uncles and his aunts, and with his grandfather and grandmother. In this manner, like this, he will have good relationship with them, and he will respect them and deal with them in their best manner, and he will keep ties with them. And this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has established. This is the affair Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, he is mentioning now. And he mentions the chapter title, we read again, Babu Sirati al-Rahim, the chapter of keeping ties of kinship. Keeping ties of kinship. In general, that means that someone will always try to be nice and good to his relatives. And whatever good one can bring to their relatives, to their family members, whether it's with a smile, or with a gentle word, or with good manners, or whether it's with their wealth, or their property, or whether it's with their status and rank in the society, or whether if it's by pardoning them and overlooking their faults and their errors, and forgiving them, and not taking them to account for every little matter. All of this is considered keeping ties of the relatives, and being kind to the relatives, and dealing with them in a manner of al-ihsan. In a manner of al-ihsan. And we remember that Allah, He loves the people who do al-ihsan. Inna Allaha yuhibbu al-muhsineen. So al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullahu ta'ala, he mentioned a chain of narration under this chapter title with his chain to Abi Ayyub al-Ansari radiyallahu anhu. أن أعرابيا عرض للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في مسيره. That there was a desert Arab who came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم while he's traversing or while he's walking or moving. فقال أخبرني ما يقربني من الجنة ويبعدني من النار. This desert Arab, desert man, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while he's going. He came to him, yani he appeared to him, and as if the Prophet, he's not expecting him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came to him and he asked the question. What is the question he asked? He said, tell me about something that will draw me near to the paradise. Tell me something that will help me get close to Jannah and take me away from the hellfire. Tell me about this. So the man, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What does he want to know? He wants to know something he can do that would help him get close to al-Jannah and help him to stay away from the hellfire. Qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ta'budu Allaha wa la tushriku bihi shay'a. Then you must worship Allah alone and not associate any partners with Him whatsoever. وَتُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ, and you must establish the salah. وَتُؤْتِي الزَّكَاةَ, وَتُؤْتِي الزَّكَاةَ, and you must perform the charity, the obligatory charity of zakat. وَتَصِلُ الرَّحِمُ, and also keep the ties of kinship. Keep the ties of kinship. So this man, he asked this great question. Radiallahu anhu, companion. And this is an indication of the diligence of the companions to learn. And their also great desire to enter paradise, and also their great fear of falling into the hellfire. And also this is an indication of their deep knowledge and understanding that in order to get to paradise, there must be actions. And in order to stay away from the hellfire, there must be actions. That a person, he has to make effort. أخبرني ما يقربني من الجنة. Tell me about something that will bring me close to Jannah. Meaning that he knows that there has to be some actions done. That there are things that he must do in order to get near to the paradise. That there are some things he must perform and some deeds that he must do. ويبعدني من النار, and will take me away from the hellfire. And also he knows that there are actions as well that will take him away from the fire. But he knows in general that this is the case, and now he's asking for the details. What are these actions? And we have to remember this likewise. That there's a path that leads to Jannah. And there are paths that lead to the hellfire. And the people do not go to Jannah simply by saying, I want to go to Jannah. And the people will not be saved from the fire just because they say, I don't want to go to the fire. But rather they have to say that and then take the means and then perform the actions that will help them realize that. All the while seeking the aid and the help of Allah Azza wa Jal. From the supplication of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do you know what he used to say and ask Allah for? He would say, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-jannata wa ma qarraba ilayha min qawlin aw amal. O Allah, I ask you for Jannah and that which will bring me close to it from speech and action. Wa Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min an-nar wa ma qarraba ilayha min qawlin O Amal, and O Allah, I seek refuge with you from the fire and that which will bring me near to it from speech and from action. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this supplication, likewise, he's clarifying this issue that going to Jannah is in the hands of Allah and being saved from the fire is in the hands of Allah and by the decree of Allah and will not happen except by the permission of Allah. So therefore, whoever wants to go to paradise, he must ask Allah. And he must beg Allah. And whoever wants to be safe from the hellfire, he must seek protection and refuge with Allah. But then likewise, he must take the means. And likewise, he must do the actions and the statements that would help him realize this goal. So we see again the importance of actions. And that's why we gather together and that's why we learn. So that the knowledge will be light for us to base our actions upon. So that our knowledge will be light for us to base our actions upon, so that we can move through life upon insight and upon clarity. And so that we can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a manner that's pleasing to Him. And we can hope for our deeds to be accepted. For our deeds to be accepted. So this is one benefit from this narration. After this, we see likewise the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What did he inform him? How many issues did he mention to him sallallahu alaihi wasallam? تعبد الله ولا تشرك به شيئا, that you worship Allah alone and you do not associate any partners with Him whatsoever. وتقيم الصلاة, and that you establish the salah. وَتُؤْتِي الزَّكَاةَ, and you perform and pay the zakat. وَتَصِلُ الرَّحِمُ, and that you keep the ties of kinship. Four affairs. We will look at these four affairs, inshallah, in a bit of detail. Who can see a benefit in the arrangement of this advice? A benefit in how this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لا ينطق عن الهوى, إن هو إلا وحي يوحى. He does not speak from his desires. Rather, it's revelation that is revealed. The sunnah likewise is revelation. نعم. آهي أحسنتي, اللهم بارك. He began sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with that which is most important. And this is the way of a believer, always giving detail and great concern and most attention to that which is most important. And that is at-tawheed. And this is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he began with. He's telling this man that you have to establish la ilaha illallah. Because la ilaha illallah, it has two pillars. An-nafyu wal-ithbat. An-nafyu wal-ithbat. Negation and affirmation. And this is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he commanded him with here. Ta'budu allaha. This is ithbat, an affirmation. وَلَا تُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا. And this is negation. And do not associate any partners with him whatsoever. So, لا إله إلا الله, that's what that means. To worship Allah alone, and to not associate any partners with him whatsoever. And to not associate any partners with him whatsoever. Meaning that Allah, he is the only one who is worthy of worship, and everyone who is worshipped besides him is worshipped in falsehood and not deserving of worship. And not deserving of worship. There are many things that are worshipped besides Allah. There are many gods that are worshipped besides Allah. But they are false gods and they are not worthy of worship. The only true God, Al-Ilahu Al-Haq, Allahu Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So this is the first affair. To establish At-Tawheed. تَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا. And we have seen this likewise in the command to obey the parents. What did Allah say? وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا وَاعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. The mention of obeying the parents is coupled with the tawheed of Allah. If we look again here, we see that keeping the ties of relatives likewise is coupled with the tawheed of Allah. Indication of what? That keeping those ties is very important. To keeping those ties, it must be done for the sake of Allah. Keeping those ties has a great status with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in rank. And it's very, very important. And it's very, very important. So we see here now, if somebody wants to come close to paradise and stay away from the hellfire, they have to worship Allah alone with no partners. They have to worship Allah alone with no partners. And now we have to ask ourselves, what does that mean? Worship Allah alone with no partners. What is worship? What is worship? What is ibadah? What is ibadah? Ismun jami'un likulli ma yuhibbuhu Allahu wa yaradahu min al-aqwali wal-amali ahsanti al-zahira wal-batina. This is ibadah. Ibadah is every statement and every action, whether it's outward and shown apparently and performed by the body parts, or whether it's inwardly performed by the heart, or something that is secret and unknown to the people. All of the statements and actions in this manner, that is beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that Allah is pleased with, and that Allah is pleased with. These are the actions of worship. But what is the reality of worship with regards to an individual? How should a person be whenever he's performing those actions that Allah is pleased with? Should he be heedless? Should he be forgetful? How should he be? His heart should be present. His mind should be focused on what he's doing. He should be thinking about the greatness of Allah and the promise of Allah and the majesty and the glory of Allah and the threat of Allah. And he should be thinking of the blessings of Allah and remembering the favors of Allah and striving to worship him because he loves him for these blessings, and he loves him for the mercy that he has shown him and the kindness that he has done for him. And he remembers Allah in this manner, and he worships him hoping for his reward. Hoping for his reward. Not just, for example, making salat, going up and down and putting the head on the ground while somebody's thinking about the toys that they're going to play with later, or while somebody's thinking about what happened yesterday, Or while somebody's thinking about what they're saying, Allahu Akbar, but in their heart they're thinking about what they're going to tell their sister after prayer. Like this type of stuff. No, this is not the good way to worship. Rather, this is not worship. Worship is based in the heart. And the body parts, they comply accordingly. But the worship has to be performed inwardly and outwardly. And it begins in the heart of a believer and in their mind. And that they performed that deed hoping for the blessing of Allah, and hoping for the favor of Allah, and hoping for the mercy of Allah, and hoping for the kindness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His pleasure, and also fearing Him, worshipping Allah because He deserves to be worshipped, because He is the one who possesses the attributes of perfection, because He is alive and He never dies, and He provides and He is not provided for, and He feeds and He is not fed, and He does not sleep and He does not get tired, and He protects and He is not protected, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He has no beginning and He has no end. And the command, it belongs to Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He is the most kind and He is the most merciful. And He has provided us with so many good things. So therefore, we should love Him and we should worship Him sincerely and truthfully, and hope in Him and have faith in Him and trust in Him and rely upon Him, and not worship Him with heedlessness or forgetfulness, or worship Him based upon customs of the people. Worship is not customs. Worship is ibadah. And it has to be done in this manner, seeking His pleasure, subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah give us success to apply the knowledge that we hear, and to understand the knowledge that is presented, and to apply it. May Allah make this knowledge a light for our hearts, and a benefit for our manners and conduct, and make us able to comprehend and understand and able to apply it by His favor and blessing. Verily, He's able to do all things, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, it must be for Him alone. And this means that one must hope in Him. At the time of worship, one is hoping for the reward of Allah. At the time of worship, one is hoping for the blessing of Allah. At the time of worship, one is hoping for the pleasure of Allah. In this manner, not just moving with the body parts. Naam, and not to associate any partners with Him whatsoever. That means that if somebody is told to do some prayer, salat, they do it for the sake of Allah, not for the people. They don't pray so that their mom will see them. And they don't study and seek knowledge so that their dad will give them some money. And they do not do the good deeds and be kind to their parents, hoping for some new gift and the likes like this. Whether they do it hoping for the pleasure of Allah. If their parents give them money, or if their parents help them and the likes like this, or are good to them or happy with them, this is a favor from Allah. But the reason why a believer, he worships Allah, is not for this. He does not hope for the affairs of the dunya whenever he does actions of worship. Rather, he hopes for the reward from Allah alone. Because we have to worship Allah alone and not associate any partners with Him whatsoever. So if somebody is making prayer, is salat something that's pleasing to Allah? Is salat something that Allah loves? Therefore, that means that salat is ibadah. If it's ibadah, it has to be for Allah alone. If somebody is praying and then their dad comes in and they start perfecting their prayer, hoping that their dad is watching them, is this person worshiping Allah alone now? Is this prayer only for the sake of Allah? No, now the intention is becoming corrupted. There's a deficiency in the intention, because the prayer cannot be hoping. The person who prays cannot hope for somebody else to see them, cannot hope for the faces of the people. Rather, the person has to hope for the face of Allah. Hope that Allah will accept this and do it sincerely for him. And hope that he will go to paradise and be able to see the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hereafter. Now, after this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, وَتُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ, and to establish the prayer. And to establish the prayer. And inshallah, we will continue this narration in the next class. And also we give the bushra and glad tidings that next Al-Khamis, inshallah, Yawm Al-Khamis, Al-Qadim, we will have our first rihla or field trip for Al-Kuttab, Al-Salafi, and all of the students are invited to attend and to go on the field trip with us. And it's a surprise where we'll be going. But inshallah, you can go there with us from your homes on Zoom. And we are going to take you on a special field trip. بإذن الله تعالى هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.